Well, my next guest is Paul Dearlove. Who is he? He's the Deputy Director of Clean Lakes Alliance. Well, what is Clean Lakes Alliance? Well, in a recent survey, Minnesota's Deer Lake landed on the list of the top 10 cleanest lakes in the country. Can you believe that? But what constitutes a clean lake? That's the big question, right? And are we seeing less of them over time? So we reached out to the Clean Lakes Alliance, an organization dedicated to improving the water quality of southern Wisconsin's Yahara River watershed. Deputy Director Paul Dearlove joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline for a conversation. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. Glad to be here.
Oh, so glad to have you tonight. You know, a lot of people are sitting here right now thinking, what? What is this again? And is this an important job to have? Yes, it is. Can you tell us all about having the cleanest lake in the country? That's quite remarkable for Wisconsin, for anyone.
Well, it's my understanding that Deer Lake is in Minnesota, correct?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah,
I did say that earlier.
Congratulations.
I apologize.
To the state of Minnesota for having that national recognition for Deer Lake.
How difficult is it to have that recognition for any state?
Well, it's interesting because it's all on how you define clean when you're talking about lakes. So I work for an organization called the Clean Lakes Alliance. We're based in Madison, Wisconsin, so your neighbor to the east. But we're really focused on a chain of lakes that we have in the greater Madison area. And when we think of clean, we're really thinking about an absence of pollution.
Mm.
So, when a lot of times you'll have situations where people will confuse water clarity with cleanliness, and clear water can be a really good indicator for whether a water body is clean or not, but it can be also a deceiving indicator. You can have really clear water, but it might not necessarily be clean, and the opposite is true. You can have water that may be stained brown, for instance. Sometimes water can get a stained appearance because of just natural tannins in the water, and people might think that that's an unclean water body when actually it can be quite clean and safe to use.
Mm. So tell me, what exactly do you do? How do you make this happen as a deputy director? What things do you have to really notice or go into to find these really important moments in a lake? I mean, I find it quite remarkable as I was reading about it.
Well, one thing we do is we really try to thoroughly understand the water body or water bodies that we're working with. So all lakes are different. Some lakes, depending on where they're located, some lakes can be located in an area that has naturally fertile soils and geology associated with those lakes. And then those lakes will usually be greener in appearance because they produce more algae and plants and so forth. Whereas other lakes can be in sort of nutrient poor areas, and those lakes will be clear when you look at them. Now, that's not to say that one lake is cleaner than the other. They're just different. They're responding differently depending on where they're located and where their water sources are coming from.
Mm-hmm. You know, in your bio, it talks about how you are to empower citizen participation by creating opportunities for people to become more informed and involved as donors, advocates, and volunteers. How is that going? Because what has been accomplished here, we all want to learn more about it. Why is it that more lakes are not deemed clean or not deemed as being some of the best? Even though we have this in Minnesota, we also know there are so many of us that don't know enough to really determine or try to call you and talk to you about it. So if you were to get a call from Minnesota or any other place and they say, we think we have a clean lake and we want you to come see it, is that what you do?
To some degree. So, yeah, you're right that we try to get everybody involved in the solutions to water quality health. And what we like to make sure people are aware of is that lakes, rivers, streams, you know, they're reflections of their watershed. And when I say watershed, I'm talking about the land area that drains surface water to that particular water body. So what we do on the land has a direct impact in relationship to what the quality of the water is like in these water bodies, because these lakes are at the lowest elevation point on the land. So they really act as these sort of like regional collection basins. They're receiving everything that might wash off the land and run downhill and get into the lakes. So what we do is we try to encourage what's called watershed stewardship. And that is just a simple way of saying that, you know, people are aware of the impacts that they have in their own decision making and behaviors on their own property. So how they live, work, and play on the land is really important. And what we try to do is encourage this sort of like building of soil health in the watershed. And when I say that, I mean the healthier the soil, then the healthier the lakes. If soil is kept in place, it doesn't erode, it doesn't wash away, and it's healthy, it has soil is a living organism, just like a lake. It's a living organism. It has microbes in there. A healthy soil does, and it recycles nutrients. It infiltrates water. So we want our soils to be these sort of like porous, absorbent media that can accept rainfall, filter that rain, and clean it so it becomes clean groundwater, or it doesn't like move the soil into the nearest water body.
It's really quite remarkable and very interesting. I want to learn even more about this, Paul. I do know that, or I wonder, if you find these clean lakes and then all of a sudden the next year it's not clean anymore, what do you do?
Well, part of it is communication. We need to make sure that there's also an awareness that water quality is always changing. And what we want to make sure is that people aren't necessarily distracted by what happens from day to day or season to season, or even like over a short time period, year to year. You want to look at trends over time. So when we look at the cleanliness of our local lakes here, we look at measures other than, like, clarity is an important one, but we look at other metrics as well. And we look at those, how they're changing over time, and see if we can see any long-term trends or patterns in those changes.
How many people does it take to determine if it's clean or not? Is it just you?
Well, it's a really kind of a complicated and multi-layered picture, because it depends on what you're looking at. So for us, we rely on we're a small nonprofit. You know, we have a team of several individuals. We heavily rely on our volunteer network of lake monitors. So we have volunteers that we train and go out and take samples and make observations. And then also we rely on our partners. So whether it be like a Department of Natural Resources or a local county land and water resources department, maybe the U.S. Geological Survey, some of these partners collect data, some of them analyze data, and others implement projects to improve water quality. So we work with all these volunteers and these partners to paint that picture, collect the necessary information to do the analysis to paint that picture of health for our lakes.
And to have a healthy lake is really important. I'm curious to know how many times do you have to continue to work with the lakes, you know, to go in, to check them, to make sure that they are staying consistently clean, or is that impossible?
No, it's a good question. You always have to start somewhere. So, before Clean Lakes Alliance got involved, we had very limited monitoring that was occurring on our lakes. Where we're located, you know, Lake Mendota is part of our chain, and that's arguably one of the most studied lakes in the world, because we have University of Wisconsin there and Center for Limnology, that's the study of lakes. very well-researched lake, but there wasn't a lot of, like, just sort of regular monitoring. And there wasn't a lot of monitoring that then produced information that was immediately available to the public. So one of the things we did when we were founded was we started a process that pulled this, collected this information, and then served it up to the public where they can get that information on beach conditions and clarity conditions and how the water is, you know, throughout the summer season through mm-hmm. basically an app that has interactive maps, and you can kind of find where you're located or what beach you're looking to go to, and you can find out what the latest conditions are.
Yeah, because, you know, I remember some of the lakes many, many years ago. They used to talk about it on the news and television about, okay, we have too many boats on the lake. You know, it's destroying things, and we need people to not, you know, use their boats as often. Do you remember those days in certain parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin or wherever you are?
Yeah, and it's a great point, an issue that you raise. You know, I was talking earlier about lakes being mirrors of their watershed and what's happening on the land. But a lot of cleanliness impacts, health impacts, are associated with the recreational use of the lakes. So boat traffic can have a real significant effect on both clarity and overall health of a water body, in particular shallow lakes. If you can imagine a lake that's very crowded and has lots of high-powered speedboats racing and across the lake in very shallow water, you know what's happening under that surface is very destructive. You have a very turbulent prop wash from those motors that's stirring up the lake bottom, and that can cloud up the lakes and resuspend sediment and cause cleanliness issues.
It really is remarkable what you do. How many of you are there?
Well, there are lots of great groups that do this type of work. So, you know, we're a regionally based nonprofit focused on the lakes that are in the greater Madison area. But there are, like, you know, different governmental groups, whether it's a county land conservation department or a inland lake protection and rehabilitation district like we have here in Wisconsin, or whether it's like, you know, a volunteer group. Like, we have friends groups that are maybe more neighborhood based, and they're focused maybe just on one lake versus a chain of lakes like Clean Lakes Alliance is focused on. So there are a number of great groups, nonprofits, government, and wonderful private for-profit partners that we bring in that help us in different ways.
Well, I think it's amazing what you do, and I'm curious to know if young people are involved as well. There used to be a time we would hear about young people going into some of the lakes or at least some of the pools where they can find frogs and that sort of thing and take them out of the lakes. And I'm curious to know if you are finding young people to really stand by you and make sure that they know how important it is to have a clean lake.
Yeah, it's a great question, and we're actually in the middle of strategic planning, actually in the tail end for our organization, and we recognize the importance of youth. And you know, when you get kids excited and interested and curious and exploring nature and the environment and water quality, then they become your best advocates later on, and they also help convince their parents of doing things like putting in rain gardens or planting native plants, you know, and just being good stewards. So, you know, we've had different ways that we engage kids in the past. Sometimes we've put on summer immersion camps with certain partners to get kids connected with the water and doing a little education around that experience, like just getting them on paddle boats, for instance, is a great way to just start sort of sparking that curiosity. And then the questions sort of drive the education.
Right.
So, yeah, it's
Paul
a good
Dear
point
Love.
To raise.
I'm so excited that I had to speak to you tonight. I'm going to be sharing this with some of my friends. I found it fascinating, and I do hope that you can join us again. I understand that the website, if people want more information, just go to cleanlakesalliance.org, correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate
you take
being
care.
Part of the
and thank
program.
You for what you're doing. You're welcome.